Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're on the mission and the help of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something. We all need the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, you need the Holy Ghost. You need him. You need his help. You haven't realized how much he's actually helped you and how much he's actually watched over you. But if we could look at the scenes behind the scenes, and we could see how God kept us and how he unraveled stuff, how he connected us with the right people and managed to push us into the right place at the right day, at the right time, in the right moment, with the right words. God has worked on your behalf, and it is the Holy Spirit that is our helper. I want you to know the Holy Spirit's our helper. Acts chapter 1:8 says that you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me, both in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. We said that God wants to make you the display, and God wants to use you to show the world how good he is. How many know God is good? Come on, how many know he's been good to you? Come on, lift your hands. Say, God's been good to me. Come on, I've got 50% of you now. For those of you who won't move, you gotta participate. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you didn't do nothing. All right, let's do it again. You ready? Lift your hands up and say, God is good to me. Amen. 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 Now do more of that while I preach. It helps me preach. Amen. So anyway, as we're looking at this, we're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. When Amy and I moved to Florence, we moved here with the mission to serve the Lord, do what God called us to do. I knew there was a call when I was younger. The Lord had spoke to me that Florence would be the place I'd build my first church. I didn't understand any of that. I had no idea what that meant. I assumed back in 1999 and earlier that it meant you'd go start churches at places and that maybe I'd start one here and start one there, but I didn't see the day ahead. We didn't have all these multi-church type setups and, you know, all that. We didn't have all that. There were just churches, and the multi-church thing came in the 2000s, and people started doing campus churches and things. That wasn't the original plan. Everybody they'd go around and build churches that seated 10,000 people or whatever. A lot of those churches that seated 10,000 people don't exist anymore. I mean, obviously, God's not the same in the way he does things. In other words, the way we do them, that's not exactly right, because he's always the same. He knew what was coming, but he saw 2,000 was going to be here. He knew that it was going to be a change for the church. He saw how we would develop in the future. He saw that there would be, an internet and web that would be different. And so he knows more than we know, and because he does, we ran with the plan that we had and did what we could at the time. I mean, even when we think about Jesus, if you think about Jesus, and the Bible says that that certain parts of the word were hidden, and not from the world, but hidden because they couldn't see it by the help of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't see it. And we'll talk about this, but if they had been able to see it, they would not have crucified Jesus. So the mystery wasn't that he was trying to hold up his message or his method. It was so that the method and the mission could occur. I mean, sometimes you want to know everything, but God has to make sure that you follow the plan. Somebody say, I'm going to follow the plan. And when we pray, we can pick up the plan. We can see the plan. We have the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about, this revelation of the Holy Spirit to help us to get to where he wants us to go. You and I need the help of the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to have the power upon us. Amy and I got married and had seen that we should come. We came up here to start a church. And when we did, we had decided that we would rent a building and lease that building, and we rented and leased one of the buildings in front of the mall. So right in front of the mall, over across the street where all that is, I rented a building over there, put money on the building, and had rented the building, leased it. But before I could move here, they decided to re-lease the building without even telling me. I drive here, get out of the car, I'm standing here, and we have no building now. It's Amy and I, her sister, and her mother, and all have moved up. Three families have moved to Florence, and now I have no building. I want you to know that's a shaky moment. At that moment, it's a shaky moment. So Amy and I are praying, and I don't know now. I felt called of the Lord. This will be where you start your first church. And so I just started thinking, well, I'll go help somebody else. Now, I want you to know something. When God calls us, the Bible says that we assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. He used a word that's very important. The word is assemble. You know, there are two different types of things. If you and I had a puzzle and we poured the puzzle out on a table and we pushed all the pieces together to the middle, it would be something. It would be a gathering, that's what it'd be, gathered. They'd be gathered. But God didn't call us to be gathered. He called us to assemble. If I took the puzzle pieces and spread them out and assembled them and let them fit in the places where they fit, there's an assembly. And when we assemble, we make a picture. Gathering's not bad. It puts us together. It can combine us. And many people have gathered. Many people gathered and made gatherings. You know, I'm deeply concerned when I look at the church and I see the way people manipulate the gospel and manipulate people and all those things. And they do things that would draw, you know, some churches they build their church by drawing from others. Like they assemble things together. So, hey, you know, if we bring everybody together, they'll see the way we do it and all them folks will leave. We're not here to destroy other churches. Raise your hands. We're not here to do that. God didn't call Family Worship Center to come tear churches apart. That's not what we're going to do. Now, I'm not saying people won't leave because they get hungry or whatever and people won't come. The Bible says that he gives to those who do with it. In other words, we know the tares, and we know that in the way God used that, the one that had one and didn't use it, the Lord took the one and gave it to the one that did the most. That's important for you to gather and understand, because as you work and as you do the work of God, God contributes to the one who's effective and does the most. But I would say it this way. Family Worship Center has a calling of God. We have a call to do something. It's not just a group of people that gathered together. There is a mission for us. A mission. The Bible says that the disciples, they would go and they went to where their company was. When they were in prison, they left. They went to where, the Bible actually lists it this way. It says, and they went to their own company. They went to their own company. There are things that we have, that we grow into in the Word of God, that we experience in the Word of God, that we have knowledge about in the Word of God. That's the company where we will most be effective. It's the company that God, not just that we just fall into places, but we look to be assembled. God, how am I a contributor? How do I facilitate the plan? How do I make these things happen? It's by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come in, we assemble together and we go to our own company. What does that mean? See, when we came to Florence, I wasn't sure what God wanted to do. And so I began to look, maybe God wants me to help somebody. Maybe that's my call. I didn't know. I remember the greatest thing that happened to me was one day I was sitting in the car with my father. And I could have been a music director. I was very good at it. I was an excellent music director, excellent with music, and I did very well with it. And yet I could preach, and I really had that in my heart that I was supposed to preach. I'm not saying they come apart, they go together, I still sing. But my dad looked over, he said, Steve, you don't know what you want to be yet. Now thank God for a good Holy Ghost dad, he didn't even know he was talking in the Holy Ghost. And he says, you don't know what you, do you want to be a song leader, a worship director, or do you want to be a pastor and a preacher? It resonated in my spirit. God began to work in me. And I left that room or left that moment with my dad, and I knew God had called me to pastor. That there was a call, there was a gifting God had called a pastor to go pastor. And the Lord has since allowed me to do that with significant benefit. Obviously, as we're on the fourth church and it's about to have its grand opening, and we're already looking for building 5, which will be in Hartsville. Somebody shout out amen. As soon as Sumter's running, we're running to Hartsville. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go ahead, just look at your neighbor and say, I can't wait to see Hartsville. Unless he changes his mind. I always ask him, Lord, now if you've got another plan, I'll take it. You know, we ought to do that. Did you know we ought to always go to God and say, now, Lord, this is my plan. I think it's your plan. But we ought to look at him and say, now, if it's not your plan, will you show me your plan? All right, church, say, God, show us the plan. Amen. That's real good preaching right there. That's just a little, you know, that nugget was free. It didn't cost y'all nothing. That was a free nugget. Say, thank you for the free nugget. Ask him what his will is. Ask him. You know, you're starting to date somebody, you're going to marry somebody. You ought to ask him, Lord, I like this person, but is it your will? And you know, I can tell you something. If it draws you away from God, I can tell you. If you look less like God by being with the person, you might have reconsider. I'm not saying you shouldn't be with the person, but you shouldn't be with the person the way they are right now. I ain't helping nobody. Am I helping anybody? I don't know who's married, who any. Let me. I didn't see any rings on the fingers. I'm not talking to y'all. Amen. That's good teaching for you guys that are in here, for you young kids, for you young adults. I just want to tell you, waiting on the Holy Spirit was a better plan. It's the best plan. Amen. Just lift your hands for a minute. Just lift them up. I want you to say this, Lord, what's your will?
What's your will?
I want you to mean it. Lord, what's your will? Now, if I'm not seeing you say it, I'm going to come move your lips. Come on, say it. Lord, what's your will? Now let him show you his will.
Amen.
Let him tell you.
Amen.
You don't need the baggage of all that. So we come up here and we're going to start this church. And I'm waiting on the Lord. I don't know what we're supposed to do. So what we decided to do was go visit other churches. Now this is in 2000. Now, so we start visiting churches. We didn't open the church until March of 2000, but in the beginning of 2000, from January, we moved up here in July of 1999, and we started looking for, she got a job at one of the schools here locally, and so we're now looking. I don't know the plan. I don't have a building. Not saying I'm not still looking for a building, but what if God wants me to help somebody? So we start looking to help. As we're looking to help, I'm going to churches. I'm finding stuff out. You know, in 1999, there were no racially diverse churches in Florence. Y'all may not believe that, but I went to them. You could go to an African-American church and you wouldn't see a white person except you if you were sitting there and you were white. And if you went to a white church, you don't see no black folks sitting in the church because it was all white. I'm just telling the church, if you went to the African-American church or you went to the Korean church, all was in there was Korean folk. I'm just telling you. We thought we'd just go do that. And we realized, okay, that's a problem. That's a real problem. And I mean this. Listen, I'm never changing. Nothing in my spirit will ever change. Nothing in my heart. I know I'm right. I know I've heard the word of God. This church has to look like this city. Come on, somebody. It ought to look like this city. Come on. When you go to a football game, it ought to look like the football game. If you're at the bowling alley, if you're at the racetrack today, there aren't a lot of black folks there, but it ought to look like. Y'all know it's true. I went with a member to the race one time, and I go to the race, and it's, you know, we're walking together. He's African-American, I'm white, and he likes the races, right? So we're walking together, and lo and behold, another African-American person walks by him, and they got this nod. Yeah. Y'all know the nod, right? I got your back, bro. Y'all know it's true. Yeah, it was racist, man. I mean, the city was racist in the spirit. You had two Assemblies of God church. You had a white Assembly of God church and a black Assembly of God church. This is the truth. You had white Church of God, black Church of God. God didn't call me to do that. He called me to open the doors up, and I don't care if you're fat, skinny, tall, green, if you got hair, don't got hair. I don't care. If you come naked, we got a blanket. Bring all the tats you want. I don't care if you got tats or don't got tats. Amen. Amen. Jesus loved the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. That's wrong. Teaching was wrong. Things were wrong. I went to one faith church. Quote, a faith church. This was a faith church. They told me this is a faith church. I'm thinking, okay, that's my genre. So I go into this faith church, and he gets to preach, and all of a sudden he gets off on insurance. And he says, no Christian should have insurance. You shouldn't have insurance. You ought to trust God. You should. I'm going to tell you right now, I just jumped up and walked out the building. I have dental insurance because I want to pay less for my dental work. I have car insurance because you drive bad. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Oh, you don't point at me. I see people pointing at me. Don't point at me. I try not to drive. I just let other people drive for me. Amen. It's safer if I'm not driving. Amen. You better get insurance, health insurance, life insurance, policy insurance, house insurance, car insurance, teeth insurance. If you can get it, get it. If your business offers it, get it. But I realized that it was strange teaching. It wasn't faith teaching. It was weird. I'm not going back there. But I finally found a place where I thought it was like us. And you have to understand, when you go around and you're searching this stuff out, I came here in 1999. Now, let me tell you something. We have effected a change. We have effected a change in Florence. When we came here, the Commons was closed, and there was no Hobby Lobby. There was no, I mean, it didn't just come because it came because a church filled with the Holy Ghost showed up, and that anointing has perpetrated and penetrated the city and the cities around us. There are racially divided churches now, thank God. Somebody ought to shout amen. We're not the only one now because we've affected people. When we came here and did Hallelujah Night, there wasn't such a thing in the town. Now everybody does Hallelujah Night. I'm fine. If we influence and change and direct and move and manipulate, I mean, the schools have changed, principals have changed, the stadiums have changed, businesses have changed. I mean, I just could list the greatness of God. And the same thing happened. We opened up that building over there in Sumter. I bought it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When I bought the building, it was dilapidated and old, and all it was a VFW, and they weren't taking care of it. The road was dingy, and everything around us was empty. We bought the building, and now there's a Starbucks next door. I bought one. Chick-fil-A opened up. They can't get enough. They don't have it. They can't even keep up with the business. Taco Bell came in. My son loves Sumter. And it's right next door to the church. Four or five big businesses have come in there. Land is up for sale. Things are changing. It's changing because God sent a church. He sent a people. Listen, it wasn't me. It was us. We went over there in the power of the Holy Ghost, and we've transformed it. When people leave here and they go and they do what they do and they're in these locations and God uses them, they go there and they don't even realize that God sent Joseph into the house from this house, that he put an anointing on them and a power on them. And when they go in, they turn it into a winning situation instead of a losing one. They turn it into a trend. They don't know why, but all of a sudden favor comes and they're falling in love with it. People say, my goodness, they're going to make a change. It's because the anointing came on you. You got to understand, if God be for you, it doesn't matter. Your life changing. Your team changing. Your city changing. You're moving. All of a sudden, people want to be around you. Because if you lift Jesus up, he draws men to himself. Favor of God. Somebody's got to understand, when you walk in and you lift up your head, it's not because you're so great. It's because somebody so great lives in you. If you'll just rely, woo, rely on God. Rely on him. Say, Lord, you sent me. You called me. You anointed me. You positioned me. It's your calling. I'm going to fulfill it. And you're going to use me to do great. Somebody say it out loud. God is going to use me to do great and mighty things. My business is changing. My school is changing. My career is changing. Come on, somebody. Come on. There ought to be more shouting than that. Somebody say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. You shall be witnesses. Shout it, I'm a witness. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you let the devil try and beat you down. Don't you let him come and attack you and try and make you depressed, discouraged, inferior. No, 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 no. Just lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Just lift up your head. When everybody, I just think about it. Sometimes people would talk about you and make fun of you and say bad things, but they didn't know what you had coming up behind you. They didn't know that one day you'd be the one sitting there in the good seat. Oh, ain't nobody shouting now. They didn't know who you were going to be, but God knows how to bring up what you can't bring up. God knows how to do what you can't do. He knows how to make what you can't make. He knows how to open what you can't open. He knows how to turn stuff around you can't turn around. You didn't plan it, but God had it planned. I know my ways towards you. I know my thoughts towards you. They are for good. They are for a perfect end. God's got it. I went to this meeting, and I'm sitting in this meeting in Augusta. And while I'm sitting in this meeting, this friend of mine had invited me to come to a meeting by a guy from South Africa. Y'all don't know him, and it's not Rodney Howard Brown, it's another guy. So anyway, I go to this meeting, and I'm skeptical to begin with, but I go, and as I'm going, I had another guy with me, brought the guy with me. And so we get there, and we get in this, they invited us for dinner, and during the service, this guy begins to prophesy to the guy that's with me. And he starts talking to him, and he says to him, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I can't speak South African and I don't have that accent, so I'm not even going to try. But he says, I see music coming out of you. This guy can't sing. I never heard him sing a note ever. And the guy says, nope. Which I was so proud of the people that come for family worship, because at least they're not going to listen to garbage, which is what I thought it was. It goes on. The guy keeps talking. The guy keeps speaking. He says, no. There's something. I mean, you must work the sound or something. You work the sound? Nope. No, I mean, it got down to the point, the guy said, how about the radio? Can you play the radio? Nope. I mean, it's bad. It's like zero music. He says, I don't know how to tell you this, but I see music coming out of you. And he wouldn't back down. When it was over, I walked up to him and said, well, I love you, but you missed it. Preacher, Pastor Steve, I'm going to let him have it. Y'all ever been there? Because I don't like, I'm like, what you need to do is just preach the word, stay with Jesus. This prophecy thing ain't for you. I'm a young preacher back then. This ain't for you. You've missed it, and what you should do is maybe you should go spend some more time praying. I really hit him hard, right? And I get done with it. But see, I forgot God's not always talking about the one sitting in the seat. All of a sudden, his son starts taking up music. All of a sudden, his son starts beginning to play guitars and pianos and keyboard. Son's like 13, starts picking all this stuff up. Within a year, he's running the band, one of the bands here at Family Worship Center. He ended up running part of my music ministry here at the church and currently does ministry, music ministry, and has even written songs and has albums. I couldn't see what God could see. Listen, does anybody get what I'm talking about? You need the help of the Holy Spirit somewhere in your lineage, somewhere in your genetics, somewhere down the line. My grandmother was a born-again Christian, and her and my grandfather spread the Pentecostal message across the South Pacific, New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, all those islands in that area that are there. They helped do it. And my grandmother had a vision. She was in her house and she saw an orange tree in her backyard, and she saw it covered and filled with oranges. Oranges everywhere. And on the tree was the name Stephen. Now, my mother had not even gotten pregnant, had nothing to do with it. I don't even know if she was married at the time. But she saw the word Stephen. My mother moved over here with my dad. He was playing baseball for the New York Giants. He was in their minor league team in Buffalo, New York. And that's where they lived. She was a worldly person. She had been saved before, but had gotten out of church. And so my grandmother tried to get every one of her kids to name their kids Stephen. Instead, they would name them names like Rommel or Romuel just names that were just not even close. They named them after generals and things. I mean, it was just ridiculous what they did. And still, my grandmother had seen a tree with fruit. Hallelujah. All over it. and the name Stephen. My mother gets pregnant and has a baby. Now, they don't communicate much. She's in New Zealand. Mom's in New York. And my grandmother didn't even know my name was Stephen. Had no idea. She got a word from the Lord sitting in her house. This is the Holy Ghost, and you'll be witnesses. I'm telling you, you need the help. Listen, you need to begin to see by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know they rejected you, but God knows how to sit you on top. Come on, somebody. He knows how to elevate you. You're not staying down. You're coming up. You're not under. You're not oh, you're over. And my grandmother says, I'm flying to New York. The Lord showed me something. She flies to New York, gets off the plane, walks up to my mother and says, is there a church on Tonawanda Street called First Assembly of God? My mom said, I haven't got a clue if there's a church called First Assembly on Tonawanda Street. My grandmother said, well, the Lord told me we got to go there Sunday. My grandmother flew all the way from New Zealand, landed here just to take my mother to church on Tonawanda Street. She picked my mother up and drove my mother. What a surprise it was when my grandmother saw a child she didn't even know was born. That God had shown her. And even though everybody else rejected that, someone in her family said yes. I mean, no, God has a plan. She believed for miracles. She believed for signs and wonders. She believed for the gospel. She believed for you. Do you understand? She had prayed and believed God for Florence, South Carolina, and didn't even know it. She didn't know she was praying for Sumter and Columbia and Georgetown and Hartsville and wherever else we go from here. She had no idea, but she knew there was an orange tree. And on that tree was the name Stephen. Somewhere in your history, somewhere down the line, I don't know where it's at, but somebody was praying for you. Somebody's been seeking God for you. Somebody has stood waiting on God to work in your life because you're the heritage. You're the heritage. You have a heritage of the Lord. Come on, somebody. You didn't know how it was going to happen. But my mother went with her to First Assembly of God and got saved on that Sunday morning in a miracle-working church. My grandmother got back on the plane and flew back to New Zealand. God had called her to come for one purpose. In the end, my mother and father ended up preaching in New Zealand, opened several churches in New Zealand. We preached all over the South Pacific. God used them there. My dad preached and pastored churches in the U.S., and today I'm the heritage of the Lord. How many know God knows what He's doing? You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you're mad and you're angry and frustrated, and when you feel like everything is falling apart, when it looks like nothing is working, go in a room somewhere. Just close the door and start. When the family looks like it's falling apart, when people come to try and destroy your dream, you just go to God. He's got a plan. He knows how to fix the problem. He knows how to move things around. He knows how to move people out. He knows how to change it. Come on, somebody say, I need the help of the Holy Ghost. This is a great Mother's Day message. Congratulations to all you mothers. I say thank you. Nobody's here without one. Somebody ought to say amen. Nobody made it to earth without a mama. You have an influence that no one else has. You have an ability that nobody else has. You have a power that nobody else has. I found this out. My wife is the core. I thought it was me. I did. I thought I'm the man. Come on, y'all men feel that way. You want to tell everybody what to do. Tell the truth. But I found out that she knows how to come right in the middle of it and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Steve, go in another room. And I'll yell, no. And she would, then you're going to shut up. I try to say no, but when mom talks, everybody else shuts up. I'm just telling you. The core. My grandmother was a core. My mother was a core. Mom's your core. Keep your influence on Jesus. We train up a child in the way he grow old. I'm glad it did not say that right then everything would be perfect. Because I have found it has not been perfect. Oh, don't look at me that way. Has anybody in here had issues? I'm doing good. I'm not saying I'm not doing. I'm doing good. Okay, I'm doing real good. My kids are doing good, but I have found out that at a certain age, they really don't listen to what you say. You talk, and they look at you like you're fools. I hope everybody's true. That's why he said this. If you train up a child in the way he should go, when he grows old, he will not. I want you to say that out loud, Mom. He will not depart from it. Say it again. He will not depart from it. You put it in him, it's going to come out of him. Come on, somebody. You put it in, it's coming out. When they need it, they know where to turn. When they're in trouble, they know who's going to help. They watched you. They know where to go. Amen. They know how to get there. Somebody say amen. Thank God for good mamas.